now our pastor, Lane Stockton.
Good morning. Good to see all of you here. I hope you had a very good week in the Lord. It has been good to be here in God's house. Thank you, Instrumental Group, for practicing and getting that musical piece ready. It is well with my soul, and I hope that's your testimony today, that it's well with your soul. If you're visiting with us for the first time this morning, we pray that you'll have a wonderful time here with us, and you'll enjoy your time in worship with us, and we'd love to see you come back and be a part of what's going on here at Lock Haven Baptist Church as we labor with the Lord. We will be in 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning as we get started. Don't forget Easter sunrise service is coming up. Invite your friends and family and those that you know as co-workers. We'll start service at 7, and then we will have a breakfast afterwards and spend some time fellowshipping, then have our normal morning Sunday school hour at 10. And I tell you, we had a good crowd this morning at Sunday school this morning. So if you're not part of that hour, I just encourage you, please come and just try it out and see. It's where we break into smaller groups and we learn different things at different levels and enjoy the fellowship one with another. So that'll be at 10 o'clock and then 11 o'clock our normal morning worship service. Now, next Sunday and the Sunday after, we have some special music that's playing. And so parents, today at 6 o'clock is choir practice for the little kids, the teenagers, and then, of course, after church is the choir practice for the entire church choir. So if your kids plan to sing in that music, they really need to be at choir practice. That's tonight at 6 o'clock with Sister Dyer, and then Beautiful Brotherhood, our teen choir, will practice at 6 o'clock also. But it's important because next Sunday they have some special music they're going to sing. All those groups are going to be singing next Sunday and the Sunday after, Easter Sunday. Is that correct, Brother Jim? Next Sunday? Yeah, 14th and 21st. That's correct. Next Sunday. So don't get caught behind the curveball. Get your kids here at 6 o'clock so they can learn the music and be able to sing with all their heart. You know, he that's faithful in least is faithful in much, and being faithful in kids' choir make them faithful in adult choir. So get them here and help them out with that. That'd be a blessing as we honor the Lord on Easter Sunday. Now, Wednesday before Easter, there will be an Easter egg hunt out here on the church property while church is going on. They'll do it during their Bible club time. So if you have some friends, you know, I understand this. Listen, there's some folks that will not come to church unless something is happening. Well, we ain't got no magic bunny out there, but there'll be some eggs here with some egg candies in it. So invite those kids because then they get introduced to our Bible clubs. So that'll be Wednesday night before Easter. They'll be hot. I think last year they hid like 5,000 eggs. I was finding eggs like, you know, 4 months later. Praise God they were plastic and not real ones. Hate to run over one of them with a lawnmower. But anyways, that's the Wednesday before. So that will help introduce our neighborhood kids to our Bible clubs. And that's important that we do that. And then, of course, they will join us in the evening service on Wednesday like normal. They won't just stay out there. They'll come in and just be a normal service like we have. So don't you miss thinking, oh, all they're going to do is hunt eggs. No, Wednesday will be the same. We'd love to have you come back and be a part of that. Today, we're going to talk about our commitment to Christ. Our commitment to Christ. Now, a couple of services ago, it wasn't on a Sunday morning, but it was a couple of services ago, I spoke with you about Paul. Paul, if you could go to the, we won't go there, but go on your own. In the book of Acts, chapter number 9, is where Paul met Christ on the Damascus Road. And so you go and you read that, and you'll get a history of how he got saved and trusted Christ as his Savior. And then if you study the life of Christ, life of Paul, you will notice he had his long and fruitful ministry, even up to martyrdom. He said this in 2 Timothy, he said, I have finished my course. Some of you probably remember that sermon a couple weeks ago. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Well, we're going to talk about our commitment to Christ this morning. And here's a couple of questions to ask yourself as we think about this service. Now listen, let me pause for a moment because we always do. It's human nature. When the pastor starts speaking or we hear a sermon on the radio, automatically the devil puts in our mind, that's a good sermon for, and you name it in your mind. That's a good service for her, him. And so this morning, I don't want you to do that. If you wouldn't mind, I would ask you just to self-evaluate. I'm not saying this is where you're at, but you know, we need to pause for a moment. We need to self-evaluate our life because we want the testimony of Paul. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. So many start and they run well for a season, and then they don't finish. And I think a lot of it has to do with our commitment to Christ. And so this morning, think about these two questions as we get started. Do we serve Christ out of love? The Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. Do we serve Christ out of love? Secondly, what is our motivation for serving? It should be for the glory of God. So two questions. Ask yourself as we go along. Do I serve Christ out of love? Is my service motivated by and for the glory of God? Just two simple questions to ask ourselves. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. The Bible says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, and Cretans to Galatia, Timotheus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, Demas, he's a man that's mentioned three times in the Word of God. And Demas had a very promising start, but he had a very disappointing end. Very disappointing end. If you would, if you go to Philemon, Philemon's one chapter, right after Titus. So keep going right there in your Bible. Get to Hebrews, you've gone too far. Come on back. Philemon, verse 24. Now, Philemon was counterpart to Luke. He was, he kind of worked alongside with Luke and was introduced to Paul by Luke. Look at verse 24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, and what did Paul say? My fellow servants, my fellow laborers. So he worked alongside Luke. Well, when we read there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 11, Paul said this, only Luke is with me. Only. So he lost some of the, he didn't have a problem, right at the beginning. Not at all. But he had a problem later on in life. And so I want us to evaluate our commitment, because I think we'll look at Demas and we'll understand his commitment was not right. His commitment was not right. And so if his commitment was not right, what was wrong with his commitment? Pastor, I believe, this is a personal belief I have here, and I think we can see it as we look through the Scriptures. I believe that his commitment was conditioned. And I think many of us serve God with conditions. I think many of us get started out of this, God, if these conditions remain in place, I'll keep going. So I believe his condition, that he placed upon his commitment was wrong. Now, Demas had been in very good company. Luke was, a fabulous friend. And I pondered this thought, Brother David. I pondered this, that the Bible says in Proverbs that iron sharpens iron. What happened here? If iron sharpens iron, what happened to Demas? He was around Luke. He was around Paul. Paul said in his testimony, I finished my course. I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight. Paul said about Luke, only Luke is with me. I thought about Lot. Lot was around some good company. Didn't help him much, did it? When it come time for him to serve God on his own. So I believe that Demas's commitment had a condition placed on it. Now listen, he had an outward appearance that he was ready. My friend Paul was convinced that he was my fellow laborer. My fellow laborer. Listen, dear friend, I believe, because it said there in 2 Timothy, this is why I'm saying he had conditions. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, I believe it is, he said, chapter 3, verse 2, I set my affections on things above. What happened to Demas? Demas forsook Paul, forsook the labor of God for the love of this present world. I believe as he looked around horizontally, I believe as he looked around at everybody around here, that what was going on here, that he forgot the most important part was vertical. I set my affections on things above. Paul said he forsook me because, and there was a reason. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now listen, I told you, you're already thinking about somebody that you know that served God really well along the way. We're not talking about evaluating their life. We want to evaluate our life. We want to evaluate our life. But Paul said here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having what? Loved this present world. Paul's affections were set of things above. Demas had some expectations down here. He expected the deacons to do such and such. He expected the song leader to do such and such. He expected his Sunday school teacher to do such and such. He expected the church body to be in a certain situation, in a certain way. It's a good thing he wasn't a member of the first church of Corinth, was it? Well, they had all kind of trouble over there. He would have fell out of the saddle like around verse number 3 of chapter 1. You go and study 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the church of Corinth was messed up, dear friend. But they allowed God to work in them. By the time 2 Corinthians comes around, I mean the Holy Spirit of God had corrected a whole bunch of things inside the church of Corinth. So they had a great testimony. So he expected his commitment, and things got to go a little rough. Paul, listen, Paul wasn't the easiest fellow to work for. Ask John Mark. John Mark wanted to do this, John Mark wanted to do that. Paul said, cut him loose. Paul said, yeah, hey, get done. Now, Paul came back around at the end of his ministry and said, look, he said it there in the next chapter, the next verse in verse 11. He said, bring John Mark with you, for he's profitable. He recognized that, hey, maybe I pushed a little hard. Maybe I pushed a little bit too strenuous on John Mark, and so at the end of the life, he saw that John Mark was very faithful to the ministry. But he said, Demas had forsaken me for this present world. So things got to go a little bit too rough. Maybe Paul said, listen, Demas, I need you to run up to Thessalonica, and I need you to spend about 3 weeks there because there's a problem here. And he said, But Paul, we're over in Ephesus. I have to take the ship. I didn't ask you what kind of ship you had. I said, get over there. And maybe the problem, listen, when things got going a little rough, listen, he didn't want to serve more. Listen, this world is hard. He had his commitments at 11. He forsook Paul and forsook the work of God for the love of this present world. And that is when you look around this world, it'll deceive you, dear friend. It'll deceive you. So don't have commitments on your conditions based upon this world. It makes me wonder, did he value the things on this earth more than eternal things? But what was going on here? Why did he forsake the work of the Lord for the love of this present world? I think he finally came to conclusion in his own heart and mind. Remember, the heart's wicked above all and very deceptive. I believe he came to a conclusion in his own heart that the rewards on this earth outweighed the rewards that he would get and receive in eternity. You know, we got to be like Abraham. As the Bible wrote over in Hebrews, said we're looking for a home whose builder and maker is God. And yes, he is creator of this earth. Heaven and earth was created by him. But this is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through. And we can't be like Demas, and we can't just have our commitment. Man, we're committed in the beginning, we're committed halfway through, but then things don't go our way, and then we start stepping out. We start skipping around, we start moving. Listen, the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. All his ways. I believe that his commitment was based on conditions. His love was found greater on the lower things than it was the higher things. What condition have you placed on God today? God, if I get X and I get Y and we work in W, we can Z all day long. But God, if I don't get X and Y, and you just hand me W, I'm not Z-ing. I'm not finishing. What conditions have you placed on your relationship and your commitment to God? God, if I get this car, if I get this job, if I get this career, if I get this, if I get that. Well, what if you don't get it? What if that's not God's plan for your life? How many of us have taken and we've placed in the conditions of our commitment, the contract with God, things that we've never even asked God about? How many of us have approached God like this? God, I got this idea, and if it works through, and I've done this, and if I get this, then I'll serve you. Or it's certainly got to be your will. God, if I get this car, you done filled out the application, you done got a credit card and charged your down payment on the credit card. But God, if it works out, it's got to be your will. Sometimes I think we try to put things in motion and can get God to bless it. Where's the condition that you placed on your commitment? How do we know that we have that problem? Because we are focused on this earth. We live by sight and not by faith. When everything is on focus around here, and focus on how to get, how to do, how to be, and how to act, how to give, we focus on this earth. Our primary focus, where are we to set our treasures? Where is our treasures? They better be where moth and rust do not corrupt. Because the things on this earth will fade, dear friend. The things on this earth will just diminish and go away real quick. I mean, they'll be devoured. Moth and rust come in and just eat it up. Riches take wings and fly away like birds. So I believe that Demas had put some conditions on his commitment to serve God. And when you do that, dear friend, you're destined to have disappointed in. Secondly, I believe personally that his love for Christ and for God was lacking. Because the greatest commandment is what? To love the Lord our God with all our heart. Why did Demas forsake Paul? Because he loved this present world. So his love was like, you know, the Bible says the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ constrains us. Paul found, listen, he was considered in Philemon a fellow laborer. Paul found no fault whatsoever in his work habit. Considered a fellow laborer, he worked hard. He evidently worked very well. Paul saw him as one that he could trust as part of the team. In Philemon, he's part of the team. He's a fellow, a co-laborer. But time proved. And time came. When the commitment that was out of whack was not enough to hold him, his love in God was lacking. So he began to stray. He began to pull away. He began to move away. He began to go in a different direction. Listen, Paul's example alone, you would think, personally I would think, Brother James, I would think that Paul's example alone in his service, his commitment, and in his walk with the Lord would have been enough to rub off on Demas. He spent a lot of time with him. But then I got to thinking, well, if Paul being human, Paul being a man of flesh, Paul who wrote Romans chapter 7 under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said that there's things that I would do that I don't do and I should do and I don't do them because of the law of sin. If that didn't work, you know, what would have worked? Well, Jesus, a man with no sin. Jesus, where no guile was found in him. Jesus, who was sinless, who walked upon this face of the earth doing good, healing the blind, causing the lame to walk, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, feeding the multitudes. And yet Judas. Yet Judas. So when I thought this, and I began to ponder, I said, surely his walk with Paul, but yet Judas walked with the Lord himself and was not persuaded. So his commitment had some conditions that did not include God first. His love was lacking because he did not obey the first greatest commandment of all. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So by not having the proper commitment just for the glorification of God, not having the proper love, following the first and greatest of all commandments, led to his motivation being misplaced. Listen, Demas, I believe it came to a point in his life that Demas served solely out of duty. Some of you are here this morning simply because your spouse done lassoed you up and rigged you up and brought you in here and said it'll be a hard day at home if you don't get to church. You're just here out of duty. Just out of duty. Let me tell you what I come up with duty. If I'm serving God for duty, Sister Barbara, it's going to be very disappointing. I'm going to be very disappointed if I serve God just strictly out of duty. Secondly, I'm going to tell you this, dear friend. If you serve God solely out of duty, it's going to get real ugly real quick. It will get ugly in your household. It'll get ugly in your walk with God real quick. If it's strictly and solely out of duty. Third thing I'm going to tell you, if it's out of duty, it's going to be real tiresome. This flesh is not willing. The spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. So if you're just showing up here this Sunday morning, right now, you're just serving God, you're just here out of duty because you're like, man, if I don't, pastor's going to send me a text. If I don't, secretary's going to send a letter. If I don't come to church, they're going to swing by the house. And they're going to see a dirty house. They're going to see the yard I mowed. If I'm only doing it out of duty, dear friend, you're going to be disappointed. It's going to be real ugly, and you're going to be real tired all the time. And I'm telling you this. If you're doing out of duty, if I'm telling you, if you're doing this strictly out of duty, you will quit. You will quit. So what's the answer? Serve God out of delight. Delight in the things of the Lord. Serve God out of delight. I mean, God has done so much for us. He's been so good to us. Listen, hey, life is not easy. Life is not, hunky-dory. Life is not a bed of roses. Listen, I wish that all of us, after we trusted Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, all of our bank accounts was full and all of our houses got rebuilt, brand new, and our cars got brand new cars. And every time a tire went flat, we'd get a new car just simply because we was a Christian. But it don't work that way. We still live under the law of sin. In this world, the people who made that car, more than likely, the majority of them are lost. And this is a thing. Then we go back to the point number one. God, you get me a new car every 2 years, I'll serve you. Well, what happens when you have to keep it a third year? Can't find you. Can't see your commitment's all out of whack. God, if everything goes right, the devil comes wrong and things don't go right, well, if God really loved you, well, wasn't that bad? The problem is, we lack the true love for God. We just love things. A couple of years ago, my wife put on the board out there that we should, we love things and use people. We should use things and love people. His motivation got misplaced. It was all out of duty. All out of duty. He missed Paul's motive. Paul's motive was found in Colossians chapter 3. If you would, go over there real quick. Colossians chapter 3. I believe, honestly, dear friend, there are some folks that are not going to serve God unless you call their name every service. Thank you, Brother Snickenbocker, for being at church this morning. If your name is Snickenbocker, God help. Brother Snickenbocker, thank you for giving an offering plate this morning. And the first time you're not mentioned at church, you can't be found. There's no recognition. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 17. Whatsoever you do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit for the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with thy service, but man-pleasers. But in singleness of heart, fearing God. Verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men. His motivation, dear friend, was misplaced. He desired the earthly rewards. And earthly rewards will always result in a downfall. Earthly rewards will always result in a downfall. Matter of fact, it's so much and so that God said to us in the New Testament, Brother Robert, He said this, if I just thank you for doing something right now, there's your reward. Publicly, Brother James, hey, Brother James, thank you. I appreciate what you did for Christian Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Doing a lot, by the way. Y'all keep praying about that bill that's going through the Senate, and maybe it'll get passed, that pastor's pizza. So they can bring it back, bring back preachers over there to the schools. Not just Dr. Phillips. If it gets passed, this is a sidetrack here, political. If it gets passed, it'll affect every school in the state of Florida. They can bring preachers. So stay in prayer about it. Keep praying about it. But if we get our thanks down here, better enjoy it. Because our ultimate motive should be to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So, commitment this morning. How is our commitment? Do we serve out of love for the Lord? Are we motivated because we want to bring glory to God? Pastor, I have no earthly idea what you're talking about. I'm lost. I've never trusted Christ. I come in here just to see if I can hear about this man Jesus. Well, let's pause a moment and tell you about Jesus. Because you can have no commitment to God without knowing Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Pastor, how does that take place? First, the Bible says we're all sin and come short of the glory of God. It's all of us. There's so many religions out here that teach us we're pretty good people. Not in the eyes of God. Religion has failed. Christ died on the cross of Calvary, not religion. Denominations have failed us. We keep this sacrament, we do this thing, and we get this wet in the baptistry, and we give a certain amount of penance here, and a certain amount of our time there. Got to weigh it out in the end. And when it's all weighed out in the end, if I do more good than I did bad, I'm on my way to heaven. He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He didn't say by good works. Matter of fact, the Bible says not by works of righteousness, which we have done. We're all sinners. Because God said so. Not because the pastor said so. Don't let the devil trick you. I'm not up here telling you that you're a sinner because I'm a good at two shoes. I promise you that. I do my share of honking. I call more people morons by myself than you can imagine. I'm a sinner. I'm not looking down at you. I didn't come to God and say, "God, I'm a pastor, now I'm your child." I came to God as a lost sinner, hell-bound. And I trusted Christ, my personal Lord and Savior. Because it was Christ and Christ alone that died on the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says if I put faith in Christ and repentance toward God, what does that mean, Pastor? I agree with God that Christ is the Lamb of God. And I put faith and trust in Christ and I tell God, "God, I'm sorry." That's repentance. I've tried good works. I've tried bad works. I've tried being moral. I've tried religion. I've tried sacraments. I've tried. God, I turn from that and I turn to Christ. And the Bible says that any man, boy, girl, or child, woman, would believe in their heart, from the heart, shall you be born again. See, righteousness is a work of the heart. So, Pastor, I don't have the words to say. He said, from the heart it begins.
Amen.
And then confession is made. How do we make that confession? Because when we believe in the heart, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. And the Holy Spirit of God, when I don't know what to say, helps me to say.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet. How's your commitment today? If you have no commitment to God because you don't know Christ, there's no reason to go out these doors without knowing Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. We'll take the Bible and we'll show you how you can know that you have eternal life. Maybe you're saved and born again. You've run a good race, but your commitment got some conditions to it. Maybe you're lacking true love. Maybe you've done stepped off into the place where you just don't know which way to go. Because you're running on your own, you're running your own little race, and you're doing your own thing out of duty. Why don't you get back to delighting in the things of
God?
Thank you.
meet Sister Lois. As soon as we're dismissed here, no instrumental group practice this afternoon, prayer time at 6 o'clock, also the children's choirs and the youth choir, so be in your place for that. Let's close our service with prayer. Brother Ethan Schallenbarger, would you dismiss us, please?
Our gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for bringing us all into your house, Lord. Thank you for this message. And pray that you let it touch our hearts, Lord, and we apply it to our everyday life. Bring us back that later on this evening, Lord, and we'll be able to heavenly.
Amen.